SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. Sunday Bloody Sunday has begun. Sirius XM channel 159. Let's do this thing. We'll welcome our AM radio affiliates momentarily. We've got a full house on the program tonight. Mo Khan steps up and in and bats leadoff. Big man on campus steps up and in. We've got Ian Cameron, A.K. Babano. We're running the gauntlet tonight. We'll talk college baseball, World Series, Gold Cup, USFL, CFL, NHL draft, and in fact, we're going to focus in on the NHL draft. The draft is rapidly approaching. The draft is on Wednesday, and I should say credit to the sports books, and I think it's because the sports books actually sponsor the National Hockey League now, but there didn't used to be as many draft options. And in fact, there's as many draft options for the National Hockey League draft as there were for the NBA draft. And you know, it's like, yeah, the draft is Wednesday, but you can't wait till then because it's not like a point spread, right? It's not like going to move a half a point or something like that. The odds are going to start to get crazy as soon as people start to believe that these picks start to get locked in after tweets, after media reports, after respected people say things. So I think it's time, actually. And in fact, I thought the draft was Thursday night. Like, you know, I mean, I told you, I'm not very good with dates, so I was going to double down and make sure and look, all right, when's this draft? But the draft starts Wednesday night, so it's Wednesday, not it's not Thursday, it starts Wednesday. Tonight, and we'll get into this. Mo Khan will step up, and then we'll talk NHL draft with Mo Khan. We talk football. We've got Babana. We'll talk football with Mo as well. We'll talk NBA basketball, NBA draft with Big Man on campus back in a rotation. Speaking of baseball, the Florida Gators absolutely destroyed the LSU Tigers. So we're going to three. And on Monday night, we got a national championship game. 24-4 was the final score. And, of course, everybody was talking about the Angels beatdown of the Colorado Rockies. You know what's funny? Like, Ohtani had, like, one hit in the game. It always works out that way, doesn't it? Right? You figure, oh, what did Ohtani do? But Colorado actually won the series. Colorado won the series. So it's like, yeah, they got humiliated and beaten down. And but, hey, they won again today. And they won on, of course, they won on the front end of it as well. So we'll talk some college baseball. We'll set the stage. Sunday night, we usually check the market watch. We'll get you up to date with the updated division prices as well. The Houston Astros beat the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight. The Astros have not been very good in extra innings. And in fact, their 11-inning win over the Dodgers was their first extra inning win in seven tries this season. Only San Diego and Arizona and Kansas City have yet to win in extra innings. I complained a lot. Well, that's a surprise. But I complained a lot about the clock in baseball. I can't lie. That, you know what I mean? The games are, like, if there's a good pace to the games now, I think the runner on second base is, like, even stupider. Let's roll. Sunday Bloody Sunday, the quickest 180 minutes of sports talk radio has begun. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, wherever you may be this evening. We've got a lot of stuff to unpack tonight. We've got a little bit of something for everybody. We're going to talk Major League Baseball. We'll talk USFL football, CFL football, NHL draft rapidly approaching. We go from the NBA draft into the NHL draft. And if you're hardcore, well, listen, if you're listening to this show, you're probably hardcore. But this is for the hardcores only when we start getting into NHL draft props. That's right. We're betting NHL draft props. We're going to get into the National Hockey League draft. Very similar to the NBA draft with Victor Wembanyama, in which he was a slam dunk to be the first pick. We have a similar situation with Connor Bedard. Right, Connor Bedard is going to be selected first overall by the Chicago Blackhawks. We're pretty much positive that Adam Fantilli out of the Michigan Wolverines will be the second pick. Leo Carlson probably going to be the third pick. Then things sort of start to change a little bit, but there's some interesting odds up right now. We'll get into it. Mo Khan will step up and in, and we'll break down the NHL draft. We'll talk football with Mo. Big man on campus in the house tonight. We talk NBA draft, recap the draft, some of the players, who do we think is going to hit and who's going to miss. Hey, listen, Grady Dick has already been a hit. People aren't talking about him. The Raptors also brought in Marquise Noel. Remember the kid from Kansas State. And you know who he reminds me of, although Mighty Mouse is more disciplined than him. Maybe he's Mighty Mouse 2.0, actually. And Grady Dick was in attendance today at the Toronto Blue Jays game with Noel. So we're going to talk basketball with big man on campus, Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. Kicks it with us this evening as well. We got a full house. USFL championship game is set. We told you. We gave you the picks. We told you to watch our videos throughout the season. We go 3-0 this week. We gave you three picks in the USFL, and we go 3-0. Pittsburgh Maulers were victorious. So the Maulers are going to the championship game. We gave you the Stallions. Hey, listen. You don't have to be a genius to know the Stallions are good. Game goes over. Let's roll. We're breaking it all down. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then
in today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind. But not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Let's roll. Sunday, buddy, Sunday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people, the bustlers, and everybody else in between. We got a full house on the program. Big man on campus, Babano, and Mo Khan. There's a lot of stuff to unpack. Unfortunately, there was sad news over the weekend, and the football world in many different places, and not just the football world, because he was a class act. So a lot of people are very upset and taken aback by the passing of Darren Dedrick, who was just 44 years old, succumbs to a battle with cancer. And, of course, you know, Darren Dedrick was a standout with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Played in a national championship game against Miami, and played at NFL Europe, brief stay in the National Football League, won championships in the Canadian Football League, but really had an impact and really was a very liked guy. Like you'll notice with all the, you know, people will say, well, you know, that sucks, RIP and stuff, but you'll notice
Everybody that played with him, everybody on different teams all said the same thing. They were like, this guy was a pleasure to be around, always in a good mood in the locker room, and a big part of our football team. Let's bring in Mo Khan right now. And I know the Montreal Alouettes world has been rocked by this, and specifically Anthony Calvillo and others. Sad news at only 44. Hell of a football player, had a hell of a career, but was also a great guy and leaves behind a big impact. And I hope people remember him for who he was. Sad news, Mo.
No question, Gabe. And good morning, good evening to you, my friend. It's definitely a tough day for all football fans, whether you're a college, NFL, or CFL fan, to see Darren Dedrick pass away. I mean, he's been battling cancer for quite a while, Gabe. We look at his history the last 4 or 5 years, and it appears he was going back on the right track a few years ago, but I think he came back from what I was told in the last year and a half. And, you know, when you think about Darren Dedrick, him being a Canadian kid from Toronto, he was one of the very first kids at the skill position level to get an offer from a Nebraska, from a Power Five program at that level, and he kind of paved the way for a lot of Canadians to look at that route and say, yeah, I can play in Nebraska or a Power Five program. So he's had more of an impact beyond his connections with his teammates and his teams, that he's inspired those guys to say, look, I can be that type of player and not have to go maybe one double A or an FCS to play football and realize my dreams.
You know, he grew up in the Toronto area, born in Jamaica, grew up in Toronto. He was the first Nebraska player from Canada to ever play on the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and he played pretty well. He had 1,299 rushing yards, led the Big 12 Conference, scored 15 touchdowns, played in the Rose Bowl in a national championship against the Miami Hurricanes, finished his college football career with 2,745 rushing yards on 502 carries and 26 touchdowns. Like I said, like, Nebraska fans are like very taken aback by this as well. And two completely different people, but I couldn't help but think about Lawrence Phillips as well.
Yeah.
Right? Who played for the Montreal Alouettes and, of course, was a Nebraska Cornhusker, and also is no longer with us in a completely different way, obviously. And Calvillo played with him, too. Like, it was hard. That's the first thing after I thought. I was like, wow, man, like, these Nebraska running backs, man. Like, these, you know what I mean? This tragedy, you know, keeps striking them in weird different ways. And then somehow the Alouettes as well. And, you know, Lawrence Phillips had a very complicated life, right? There's a lot of, you know, a lot of different things, but a lot of guys on the Alouettes loved him, right? I mean, they liked him, and they won when he was there. I had Dick Vermeil on the program, and he was talking to me, like, you know, we were talking about his wine. Yeah, he's got a wine, you know what I mean? Well, he's in Napa Valley. We were talking about his wine company and stuff, but we started talking about Lawrence Phillips. He started crying and stuff. But how, you know, he thought Lawrence was murdered, and, like, he wished he could have done more for him. And, like, it was, like, deep, deep stuff. So I couldn't help but just sort of, like, go back in time here and just think about the Montreal Alouettes. And now, you know, the players that played with Dedrick, a lot of those guys also played with Lawrence Phillips as well. And it has to be taking them back to those days, too.
And not to go even more in depth here, but remember Thunder Collins, former Cornhusker, did have a brief stay with the Alouettes, now unfortunately in prison. So the Owls have had a history with Nebraska players even well before these
Going
guys
back to Johnny Rogers, actually. Johnny Rogers, going all the way back to the 70s, the first Heisman Trophy voter, the trophy winner that signed with the Alouettes instead of going to the NFL.
Right. And even Tommy Frazier, right, played with the Alouettes in their inaugural year in 1996. So, I mean, there's a history with the Nebraska Cornhuskers and Montreal football. But, you know, when you think about, you know, Lawrence Phillips, I remember meeting him in Montreal in 2002, and he was cool with me. And you're right, Gabe. A lot of people loved his demeanor, that he was hard and tense in the football, so he would have his teammates' backs. And it's unfortunate what happened to him at the end with him passing away in prison. But with Darren Dedrick, he was a guy that even now, if you look at all the posting that you see in social media, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or online and Facebook, this guy had an immense impact on many players, teammates who become brothers for life with his family. And this is a huge loss, no question about it, for all of football to not have him here on earth anymore.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, I had to bring it up. I figured we'd bring it up off the top. It's It was, like I said, hell of a football player. Hell of a football player, great guy. And it's just too bad. But as far as the CFL is concerned, I don't think people had very high hopes for the Montreal Alouettes coming into this season, to be honest. I thought they would be decent to be. You know, I really did. You know what I mean? Looking at the division they play in, figured, you know what? This is a 9-9 team. Like, you know what I mean? That's the way I looked at it. I was like, this is a 500 football team. You know, maybe they could squeeze out a 10-8 type thing. Right. Off to a good start, but we're going to learn a lot about them when they play the Winnipeg Blue Bombers later in the week.
Well, we're going to learn a lot about the Alouettes for the next month because you're right. They have the Bombers next Saturday. They play in BC on July 9th. They have the Argonauts on July 14th. And I believe they have Calgary at the end of July. So the next 3 to 4 games, we'll know if this team is the legit threat to win the East because of how Hamilton's not played well with Boldy by Mitchell, now Siski, Maillard, and then with being 0-3. Toronto looks pretty decent with Chad Kelly, the nephew of Jim Kelly, a quarterback. But that's the thing, Gabe. You're right. The Alouettes are sort of the wild card in this division. Ottawa is still growing right now and probably our year two looking to be competitive, but the Alouettes could ruin this division for the other teams out there, Gabe. And if they get sound play from Cody Fajardo at quarterback and play good defense without the fact that they're missing Big Ellison at receiver, they're missing a couple of guys, Reggie White Jr. included, if they get those guys back healthy, ready to go, they could be a loaded team going toward the second half of the CFL season with what they have built up if they stay healthy going towards Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, you know what? I tweeted it after the game. They're obviously not back to what they were. There's a high standard, but there's a little bit of a swagger going on, you can see. You know what I mean? Just on defense, they're making plays, special teams, just all around. If you keep football simple, you can win football games. Don't turn the ball over, right? You know what I mean? Keep it simple. And they play simple football. And I like the way they, you know what I mean? They run the ball. They mix in a bomb. Like, you know what I mean? Boom, let's go deep. Right? Like, I like what they're doing. I can just sort of tell they're having fun and they like each other. Like, you can just sort of see they have that, hey, nobody believes in us, but we do. Right? So let's see what happens. So I'm intrigued by watching them play. Like you said, it's a fun, it's a fun week next week. We got BC and Toronto as well. And I don't know how much of you saw tonight of the USFL game with Alex Magoo, but this guy just continues to light it up. And people are
in today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind. But not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Talking about like NFL with Alex Magoo, right?
Right.
And, all right, justifiably so. Like, honestly, you watch this guy play, and you'd be like, hey, listen, Brock Huard brought it up during the broadcast thing. He goes, I don't know, like, said, I don't know if only about half the quarterbacks in the NFL can make the throws that this guy's doing right now. And we'll get Mo's take on Magoo, but I was going to say, why not, if I'm a CFL team, go after Alex Magoo? The Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I can't believe we're on the Canadian Olympic basketball team.
Yep, it's just that easy.
Wow, that was close. You can be the center.
All
I think the Florida Gators just scored again. It's pretty crazy. Huh? It was like last night, the Angels were up 24-0. Tonight, Florida. Florida scores 24 most runs ever in a College World Series game tonight. They set all these records tonight. Most runs in a College Baseball World Series game, 24. Most home runs in a finals game, 6. Largest win margin in a championship finals game, winning by 20 runs. Tied record for most hits in any College Baseball World Series game for 23. But all that really doesn't matter, man, because we're tied at 1 right now with the championship game. Tomorrow, the SEC, where it just means more, will win the College Baseball Championship. The question is, who? Florida and LSU, this game's going to be lit. That game is tomorrow night. We got Mo Khan kicking it with us right now. So, yeah, I was talking about Alex Magoo and the Birmingham Stallion quarterback. I got to tell you, like, there's nothing more that this guy could do than to show teams that, you know what, I can play football. And he was already in the NFL, right? He was on the Seattle Seahawks. You know, he's one of those guys. But now with the third roster spot, it's really going to open the door for a lot of these QBs. But he's good. And, like, a good example is, like, if I'm the team, like, the, I don't know, the Edmonton Elks is a good example.
Right.
If I'm watching this guy play football, and I'm like, you know what, this guy is really good, and he's going to get invited to an NFL team, and he's going to be a third-string quarterback, and he's not going to play, why don't we just give him $500,000 to be our quarterback, and he'll gladly take it? Like, you know, look at Edmonton. If you want to suck. Like, they don't have a quarterback, bro. How the hell do they think that Cornelius is going to be their quarterback? They don't have a veteran. They got nothing. Right? Like, these teams, then they wonder, oh, there's no fans here. Well, your team sucks. That's why no fans are going, because you suck.
Sorry, Gabe. It's right over there. You know what? When you look at it right now for what Edmonton has as you speak, it was a complete disaster against Toronto on Sunday Night Football. They went to the back quarterback who was upset after one play, and they went to Doggy right afterwards as a third-string quarterback. So we look at a guy like Alex Magoo and what he's brought to the table in the USFL. I mean, look, let's be real, Gabe, right? A lot of these guys who are playing XFL, USFL want to get back or want to have a chance at the NFL. So I think for Magoo, he's going to look and exercise and exhaust his NFL avenue, this at least for training camp going towards this season into the fall. And maybe he does look at the CFL next year. But as I told you off air, the biggest problem now with the CFL moving forward is going to be the fact that because the NFL has that third quarterback spot, it will weaken the opportunities for them to attract that quarterback that might excel at the Canadian level and not get the best of the best. And right now, if you look at the CFL core and stable quarterbacks, Vernon Adams Jr. has been playing well. Chad Kell looks like he could be the real deal if he continues to move up and up over here. And Zach Collar is still the real deal. But the reality is, probably a third, if not half the quarterbacks in this league is not that adequate as you speak.
Yeah, but the half the quarterbacks in the NFL aren't adequate either. Right? So, to me, no, it's true. Listen, I've never understood it, to be honest. How, I guess it's that difficult of a position. I mean, I have no other explanation for it. How a country of 330 million people, you can't find, like, 32 good quarterbacks, right? And then you get into, okay, can you find 64 good quarterbacks? No, you can't. Right? I mean, how many teams in the NFL actually have good backup quarterbacks?
Not
a
many,
few?
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like, what, who? Like, I don't know. San Francisco have a bunch of dudes. It's a few teams with a couple of guys on the team. But, like, for the most part, any NFL team loses their quarterback, they're screwed. Like, they don't have the same type of caliber guy coming in. And then now, as you stated, you get these other leagues. Yeah, the CFL is such a different league, and you got to find. I find their teams. I don't know. To me, Mo, it's almost like salary caps. You know, the Cleveland Browns have sucked forever with the salary cap and without a salary cap. So you could say, well, you know, we could do this to equalize. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. It's like Red Bull now in F1. Everyone's crying all the time about, oh, they're so dominant. You guys just bitched and made everyone spend less money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, now what? What do you want to do? Well, you want them to race on three tires now? Like, before, just for the record, guys, like, Red Bull used to spend $300-400 million a year. on their car. And everyone was like, oh, we can't, poor Mercedes can't keep up, right, and stuff, right? And Ferrari, oh, poor Ferrari, right? So they can't keep up. And these other teams, well, you know, it's too dominant. Let's say their way of making a salary cap. So they limited. They said, all right, you can only spend like $150 million on this and research and blah, 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 blah to equalize it. It's the same result, Mo. They're still the best. Right? Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're good at scouting, you're good. If you're not, you're not. Right? Like, look at the BC Lions, how they just keep plugging these quarterbacks in. Nobody, everyone could have got Nate Rourke. No one believed in Nate Rourke. They did. And now the guy's in the NFL with the Jaguars.
Yeah, and I think, again, with the quarterback position at the CFL level, it requires a different style of player, right? You know, we always talk about guys.
Strong arm. Need a strong arm.
Strong arm, but also touch, right? Because as big and wide as the CFL field is, Gabe, you need to have some touch as well to put that ball in the right spot here. Because remember, that 12th player on defense has screwed up a lot of quarterbacks who've never played King Rules football. And it takes guys a while to get used to playing that level of football, what it is on a field like the CFL. And I just think now for where the league's headed, Gabe, I mean, look, I was bringing the point, 30 years ago, on a Friday night, for example, you would have Doug Flutie against Matt Dunnigan, a Tracy Ham against Damon Allen, right? You would have elite quarterbacks that were must-see TV, and you're bang on, right? If CFL does not have that big-name quarterback that's going to excel and be a superstar, no one's coming to the stadium. They're going to watch it at home and not come watch it, you know, three-down football, watch pretty much average quarterback play at that position. So can the CFL scouts go out there and sell the idea, hey, you can be the man over here, but also another thing working against CFL games that you're paying in Canadian dollars. So some guys would rather be paid in the U.S., not have to worry about taxes and all that stuff here. And because the XFL and USFL having more benefits than where the CFL lands right now, it becomes more appealing playing those spring or late spring leagues than playing in the CFL from July until end of November.
Yeah, I don't buy it, Mo. I've disagreed with you on this before. You said that before. Like, how many players ran from the CFL to join the XFL?
There's a bunch that did, Gabe. I mean,
they're nobodies. They did to make $45,000 a year, Mo. Guys in the CFL, if you're a starter, offensive linemen in the CFL are making $500,000. Wide receivers are making $750 and stuff. All right, so that $750 turns into $500 for them after with the exchange or whatnot. But the XFL lost $60 million. They pay their players like literally like, you know, $45,000, $4,000 a game. And the USFL doesn't pay. Like McLeod Bethel Thompson said, oh, you know, I want to be closer to my family. So you gave up $480,000 for $72,000 to be closer to your family?
But you know what? But you know what, though? Okay. That's the thing with the CFL, right? Like, the USFL and XFL are paying U.S. dollars, right? So a lot of these kids now, and remember, Gabe, right, with NIL now in play, a lot of these guys say, you know what, I could stay in college football for another year and make $1 million plus or make $8 million plus. Whatever.
Yeah, but anybody that's making NIL money won't be, you know what I mean? They're going to the NFL anyways.
Right. But there are those guys who do, like, you know, make NIL money that may never ever play in the NFL. But I'm just seeing that from where we are right now for the CFL position, right, because there's more market, there's more teams now, there's more market of leagues. And I remember I had a guy tell me in CFL ranks who works for a team out there. He said, our scouts have to work harder now. We have to go unearth that diamond in the rough because now you have more competition that want to get talent to go play in their leagues. And a lot of these American guys are kind of foreign to the idea of coming up north and playing the CFL and rather playing the comfort of the NFL-style rules of the USL or XFL, which are one to choose come February 10th when the season begins.
Mo Cotton, kick it with us, yeah. Well, listen, you can't dispute that the USFL has the XFL and the USFL give people a chance. That's you know what it is? The real crust of it is, if you sign, like, with a XFL or USFL team, they have a thing where you can't go to each other because they're rivals. But, like, right. If you sign with a team, they have that thing. Well, you can leave for the NFL, right? If you get an offer. The CFL doesn't want that, right? Like, they want to sign players that are like, yeah, no, I don't want to be in the NFL. I'm happy to become a millionaire here after 5 years or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at Anthony Calvillo as a classic example of that, right? Like, you know, Calvillo, man, the guy made he literally made, Mo, like $13 million or so, right? Okay. You know what I mean? That's all right. That's 1 year or whatnot for some players, but still, that's not bad, right? Like, he became a multimillionaire as opposed to bouncing from team to team as the third string quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Nate Rourke is young enough to do it. I get his thing. Like, Nate Rourke's young, bro. The guy's in the CFL. He's like, hey, if I can stick in the NFL and get a pension and stuff and actually be a backup for the next 8 years here, fine. Right? I'm going to make a lot of money. I don't know. Maybe it'll bother him that he never plays. Remember Bo Levi Mitchell a couple of years ago? I'm sure you know the story, Mo, but remember Bo Levi Mitchell? The Minnesota Vikings wanted to sign him, point blank.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind. But not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Right.
Like, there wasn't even a tryout. It wasn't, no. It was like, listen, we want to give you, and they were like, we're going to give you $750,000. It was a little bit more than the league minimum at the time, right? They're like, we're going to give you $750,000 a year. And he said, if I compete in camp and I'm better than Kirk Cousins, is there ever a hope in hell that I'll ever play? And they said, oh, God, no.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thing. Danny in our chat says, can't wait for Captain Kirk to throw an interception. This season hasn't even started yet. This will be Kirk Cousins' last year with the Minnesota Vikings. This is boys to men. It's the end of the road. It's the final year of his contract. Mo Khan kicking it with us. I love Mo. Like, I should be like my defense of the CFL, because I remember you came in every year. People are, oh, that's going to hurt them. That's going to get them and stuff. And I'm like, no, it won't. They'll be fine. They've lasted 150 years. They will be fine. There's a changing of the guard, though, going on. Like, attendance is down in Saskatchewan, Edmonton, and the West and stuff. And then suddenly, we'll see if the BC Lions can follow it up. They got 33,000 for their home opener. I know the Alouettes got over 20. We'll see if the Argos can start to get a little bit of a crowd going. But I've enjoyed the CFL season. The CFL, we've done very well betting. We're starting to get into a groove. The USFL, we've absolutely crushed it. And we did a video in a week again. This week we went 3-0. But let's get into the NHL draft, because the draft is Wednesday, but the draft is like the crypto market. It's like the stock market and stuff. You can't wait until like 10 minutes before to bet it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the numbers move. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the numbers move. Like, it's a very fluid market. Like, you know, Bob McKenzie said something, and like, it's not quite the same as like Sham. You know what I mean? Like Sharnia the other day, and you know, Mel Kiper will say something, and you know, the sports books will flip odds and stuff. The NHL is a little bit different, but there has been some movement here, and I want to get a head start on this right now. So, listen, we all know who's going number one overall, obviously, Connor Bedard. There's not even odds for it because it's just too much of a slam dunk. Adam Fantilli will be the second pick. The Ducks are going to get a really good player here in Fantilli. This kid's a stud, man. Lit it up with the Michigan Wolverines. He's going to go back and play another year of college, too. So that's the whole thing with these NHL draft picks. Like, basically only Bedard will be in the NHL this year. But, okay, so Fantilli is the slam dunk. He's 5-1 to be minus 500 to be the second pick. I'm pretty convinced. Would it shock me if they took Will Smith? No, but I'm pretty sure that it's going to be Leo Carlson. As far as the grades are concerned, Mo, it seems like Carlson is just too good to pass up. So I'm going to go with Carlson third. Do you agree with that, with Columbus?
I agree with that. I think Carlson goes no lower than fourth to San Jose, but I think he will be a top three pick after Connor Bedard and Fantilli at 1 and 2.
Yeah, so Leo Carlson goes 3 to Columbus. And then we get to the fourth pick. So the fourth pick is intriguing here. This is where things start to get a little bit interesting with the San Jose Sharks. Although, a lot of Will Smiths out here now, huh? You got the Will Smith. You got the Will Smith on the Dodgers. You got another Will Smith now. There's a bunch of all these athletes now. Will Smith. So we got a new Will Smith, the U.S. under-18 phenom. This kid can play, too. I'm pretty sure this is where the Sharks are going to go. I think the Sharks take Will Smith with the fourth pick. Do you agree with that?
I think that is likely. Like for where Will Smith is projected to go, they think he will go top four, right? But, of course, the wild card is Mishkov, the Russian, where he will be. But I think Will Smith won't get past San Jose. Again, it goes back to my point with Leo Carlson and Will Smith. You can flip-flop them 3 and 4, and they won't get past San Jose for both those players. And I think that's where the draft intrigue will begin, Gabe. I think after Fantilli, it's a question now of does a team trade up with Columbus to get to number 3? Because the word in Montreal, 10 days ago, was that the Habs were trying to trade up to number 2 with Anaheim to perhaps get Fantilli, right? And there was talk that they're trying to trade up to number 3. So there's something in that they probably believe that San Jose is targeting a player that they want at 4, and the only realistic option for them to be in the chase side is that they have to trade over San Jose to get that guy, whether it's at 2 or 3. But the question now for Ken Hughes, the GM of the Montreal Canadiens, is that if he's willing to mortgage his future, because think about this, Gabe, right? The Canadiens for the next 3 NHL drafts have 8 picks in the first or second round for this year, next year, and 2 years down the road. So they do have firepower to work with to make a move up the board here. But the question is does Jeff Gordon and Ken Hughes, are they comfortable in their position to bring in an impact player who may play this year or may not play until next fall? Who knows?
Yeah, and I don't think it'll happen. We'll see. They do have a lot of picks to work with, but
yeah,
I think the Ducks are going to be like, we want Fantilli. So if it wasn't for Bedard, Fantilli would be the slam dunk number 1 pick in this draft.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Yes,
point blank.
Absolutely.
Right? Like,
yeah,
he's that good. So I think they see that, and they've already got some good young players there in Anaheim. Our boy Matthias is a Duck fan. He led the NCAA with 65 points, tied for the lead with goals with 30, led the Michigan Wolverines to the Frozen Four, won the Hobey Baker Trophy. And you know what's really impressive, man? He's 18 years old, Adam Fantilli. He's 6'2", 195 already. That's big. That's a big kid for hockey, like to be 18 only. That. So then plus, guys, you put him on skates now, suddenly he's basically 6'5", right? And
yeah.
And he's an 18-year-old. Like, dude, they haven't even got him in an NHL weight room yet and an NHL diet and all this type stuff like this. Fantilli is going to be a beast. This is a great NHL draft. There's some really, really good players here. So I think Will Smith goes 4th. For the record, he's minus 140. So, Mo, I wanted your take here with a bunch of all Canadians.
Yeah.
Are they going to go Ryan Leonard? Now, Mishkov, you brought up Mishkov. For the record, yeah, we just talked about Fantilli would be the number 1 pick of the draft if it wasn't for Bedard. He's 6'2", 195 pounds. He led the NCAA in scoring. Played for the Michigan Wolverines, high-level hockey, and he's a stud. But this Mishkov guy could be a number 1 pick if, he wasn't under contract in Russia. So he's draft eligible, but he's under contract in the Continental Russian KHL Hockey League, and they're pretty serious about that. They don't like losing their players. So he's under contract till 2025-26 season. But the fact of the matter is, none of these kids are really going to play in the NHL for a couple of years anyways, and he'll be playing against pros in Russia and getting better. Some people call him a hockey genius. He seems like a real phenom. The Montreal Canadian fans want to take him and stash him. And or do you go with a Ryan Leonard, who I don't think they would take? To me personally, I think the Canadians are probably going to go with Reinbacher, the defenseman. But what do you hear? What do you think happens?
Well, the sense that's growing now within the Montreal media, even covering the team now, Gabe, is that they believe that they will pass a Michkov, right? But this could all be a smokescreen, because remember last year when they had the first pick, many thought they'd take Shane Wright, but they went Yuri Slavkovsky, right, who kind of shot up the draft boards. And I think now for Ken Hughes and for Jeff Gordon, as I said before, if they take Michkov at number five, they're telling the fan base that we will wait for him, but we're also comfortable in our positions that we won't be fired in the next year or two because we're going to wait for Michkov to come and prove why we waited for this guy to come maybe in 2-3 years, however long it might take with what's going on with him in the KHL.
But I don't think they have that comfort, bro, personally. I'm just thinking about it.
Well, Jeff Molson, the owner of the team, he gave him the carte blanche, right? Here's the keys to the Ferrari. I want you to build it back up.
What does he care? He sells out every game anyway, so what does he care?
He does. He does, right? But now the thing is for the Canadians, as they move forward here, right, with what they're trying to build up, like, we know that this upcoming season in the fall will be right off the hat. They'll be competitive, but they won't be anywhere near playoff bound. They're going to be in that lottery conversation again next spring. But now for the fan base, they're not saying they've had this apathetic view of the Canes, but they want to see this team have that foundational piece to work with. They got Cole Caulfield, Nick Suzuki, Kirby Dach to work with.
Yeah, but Reinbacher's that guy. He's that, right, like, solid defenseman. They need some help on the blue line. Like, I'll be honest with you.
They have depth now, Gabe, right? They have depth. Who drafted? They took Lane Hutchinson from Boston University, who they're very high on. They be the quarterback of the team, right? And really,
so you pair him with Reinbacher. That's my point. But in a couple of years, you have both of them.
But the thing is, are you going to now draft another defenseman? Because, Gabe, look at the body of work that it has the last 5-10 years. I know Bergeron has been, Mark Bergeron, the former GM, who was terrible as the GM of the team with what he's done for first-round picks. But in the last few drafts, though, they've invested in the back line through the first three rounds, whether it is a Kaden Gooley, whether it's bringing in Logan Mailloux and others that have been drafted in the last 2-3 years. So they have the depth to work with. But the question is, though, are you willing to, at the 5 pick, in a deep draft, are you willing to say we're going to bypass those forwards and take another defenseman who may not play for another year or two and where we need that forward line to work with? Because look at the division right now, Gabe, right? It could be had in 3-4 years with how the older teams are trying to now fizzle out, like Boston, Tampa, and maybe Toronto. This could be Montreal and Ottawa that can take over this division, or even Detroit in 3 years down the road.
Ottawa are definitely ahead of Montreal's progression. That's for sure.
Oh, yes, yeah. Agreed.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, we can't dispute that. All right, so no. The odds for the 5th pick, Ryan Leonard, plus 180. Make a pick here, Mo. So Ryan Leonard's plus 180. David Reinbacher is plus 210. Mishkov is plus 225. And Dvorsky's 5-1. We didn't even get to Dvorsky, but I don't think it'll be him.
No.
Ryan Leonard wouldn't shock me, actually. Like, you know what I mean? I could see them with a Ryan Leonard. What do you think they're going to do? What's your pick here?
Ryan Leonard has a connection to Ken Hughes from way back in the day, right? Along with Will Smith. Like, he knows these American kids fairly well. Right? He left to get Will Smith because he knows Will Smith from his time in the minor hockey league, right? But the thing is, with this team right now, if you look at Michkov as you speak, right, allegedly he's blown off interviews with teams in the top four, top five, trying to maybe angle his way towards Washington, which has a strong Russian contingency as you speak, right? If you saw the social media,
yeah, he's already causing problems.
if you saw his Instagram, right, he was in Qatar last week when he should have been doing interviews with these NHL teams. So I think now, right, the player empowerment that Michkov has, realized, like, you know, maybe I don't want to go to Toronto, I'm sorry, San Jose, Columbus, Montreal, whatever it is, or even Arizona.
Yeah, but I saw a picture of him in New York the other day. I saw a thing, right. Michkov has arrived. He was standing in Times Square type thing, looking up at the lights.
He's going to be in the draft in Nashville this week. So, look, I think it's for Leonard. I'm going to go with Ryan Leonard for this pick here because, again, Ken Hughes, Jeff Gordon have more of a comfort level with guys from the U.S. Developmental League or from the NCAA ranks. So give me Ryan Leonard to be that pick for them at number 5.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the pick last year, to be honest, the number 1 pick, but whatever. I always tell people you can't judge this stuff for years. In hockey, you really can't, right?
No.
I mean,
no,
it's like baseball. Yeah, like NFL and NBA, you get thrown in there right away. You're a first-round pick, and it is, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, you're gonna, you get thrown in there. Hockey, yeah. Guys, like we talk about these players, and you don't – like almost every one of them is going back and playing somewhere. You know what I mean? Boston College, Michigan. Like, honestly, like – to be honest, even though I know their word was Fantilli's going back to Michigan.
Right.
I got to be honest. I think he's good enough to play in the NHL. So we'll see what happens, though, right? I mean, look, I love Shane Wright last year. Dude, Shane Wright could barely, like, make the team, like, their minor league team. You know what I'm saying? They were right. Like, man, we got to send him back to the minors, like, or sort of junior. Like, he's not ready. So... it's incredibly difficult in the NHL, like incredibly rare that a first-round pick just shows up. Unless you're like Cale Makar.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind. But not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Just walk it off the street and take the league over. That's how good he is. I think Fantilli's that good, though. He's 6'2", 195. We'll wrap up with Mo on the other side. He's already got the size to play in the league.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's do this thing, level one. Quickest entertainment in sports talk radio. Mo Khan, TSN Radio, former wide receiver, kicking it with us right now. We're on the way out. But, Mo, what did you think? We only got in a couple of minutes here, obviously. But your thoughts, takeaways from the NBA draft. What pick did you like the most? Our boy Prosper ends up with the Dallas Mavericks, which is pretty cool and a pretty cool place for him to play. And he's a good fit for that roster, actually, too, to be honest. They need defense. They need grit. So what was your takeaway from the NBA draft? What did you like?
Derek Lively. Derek Lively ended up going to the Mavericks. I think helps their cause. You're right about old Max Prosper also going to the Mavericks at the end of the day. The kid from UCLA, Jokic Jr., you know, with what he brings, right? He can be a great value to the NBA at the next level. But also, I love what the Warriors did, taking the kid from Santa Clara, that shooting guard. He can launch and he can spread out that court here. So that can help the Warriors' cause, trying to get younger, more athletic with their wing play and guard play with what they did through their draft in the first round.
What's your quick prediction for the Raptors? Because just because they didn't make a deal at the draft doesn't mean the Masai and Webster won't do something. They're known for doing summer stuff. Do you think that the roster is what it is right now? Or do you know what I mean? Do you think they're going to move Siakam?
I told you back in Feb when we talked about the deadline, I thought Siakam would be on the block. I think it could happen. They need to start fresh and give themselves a new look because this core group has to be blown up and start the rebuild now towards where they want to be, maybe in 2 years down the road.
You know, let's keep our eye on this. That, like I said, guys, everyone, like all these rumors just stop, but don't think that, you know, stuff is still going to happen. DeJounte Murray for Siakam. Because don't forget, Siakam dropped it right before, and he knew what he was doing, right, when he threw it out there. Yeah, yeah, I'm not re-signing with you, just to let you know that, right? And rightfully so, everyone loses free agency, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, hey, you know, look, he's got to look out for himself. But if I'm him, the writing's on the wall, and if Atlanta want to pay me, I would do it. All right, great stuff as always, Mo.
Always, man. Have a good week. We'll talk soon, pal.
The late night anchor man for class. This is Sports Rage.